This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال تعالى أيضا يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون.
I commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon the final messenger, our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, first and foremost, I remind myself, I enjoin upon myself, and then all of you all present here, to adopt a life of taqwa. And that is to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be conscious of your maker during every single second of your lives. If you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us all from the people of taqwa. May He make us from the victorious and successful ones. Ameen. We are headed towards a beautiful, powerful, and special season. A season that is about to dawn upon us in just another few days, less than a month. The beautiful season known as the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan. It is a season where, due to the love that we have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to strive hard to get close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our pious people of the past, the scholars, the imams, they would be so excited that they would prepare months before the month of Ramadan to welcome the month of Ramadan. They would prepare months ahead, months before. Let's say 4, 5, 6 months before the month of Ramadan to welcome the month of Ramadan. But it's not too late, even for us, inshallah ta'ala. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us all with long lives to attain this month of Ramadan and many more months of Ramadan in the future, to do as many good deeds as possible and to please Him, azza wa jal. Ameen. So it's not too late to prepare ourselves mentally as well as physically to be as productive as possible during this special season, to do as many good deeds as possible, and most importantly, to strengthen, to enhance this relationship that we enjoy as Muslims, as believers, as the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this relationship that we have with our beloved maker, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, I used 3 characteristics to describe this season. I said that it's a beautiful season, I said that it's a special season, and I also said that it's a powerful season. I didn't randomly choose these sifat, these adjectives, these characteristics, but rather I have reasons behind every one of these characteristics that I hope to go into for today's sermon, inshallah. So it's a beautiful season because it is a season of love, where you're going to prove your love unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A season where, because of the love that you have for Allah azza wa jal, you're going to stay away from certain things which we're going to talk about, inshallah ta'ala. A season so beautiful and so special, like I said, that there is a hadith Qudsi. A hadith Qudsi. Now, hadith Qudsi, it is a category of a hadith that have been reported to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But these are the words of Allah. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have been reported to us through Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of hadith. It's not considered the Qur'an. The Qur'an, the direct words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith Qudsi, Allah is saying it and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reporting it to us. So in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, every deed of the son of Adam is for him. So your prayers for you, Salatul Jum'ah for you, your sadaqat for you, your zakah for you, your umrah for you, your hajj for you, your nafil deeds all for you. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, illa sawm, except for fasting. It is for me, Allahu Akbar. Allah is saying, it is for me and I shall reward him for it. Now obviously, for all of your deeds, you're going to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But why has sawm, why has fasting been highlighted in this particular hadith Qudsi? Now scholars have gone on to make sharh of the hadith. They've gone on to commentate in regards to this particular hadith. Scholars like Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, scholars like Imam Al-Jawzi rahimahullah, they go on to state that why sawm has been highlighted. Perhaps as to why it has been highlighted is because, number one, in sawm, in fasting, there are no elements of showing off. No riya, no showing off. Fasting is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even during the month of Ramadan, you could seem to be fasting, but in reality you could be feasting, you could be eating and no one would know about it. So the fact that you are adhering to the fast, staying away from that which you're supposed to stay away from, it is between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't necessarily show off with your fasting. There's no riya, no showing off with your fasting. But in terms of the other deeds, shaitan can creep in and contaminate your deed. Elements of showing off can creep in and destroy your deed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save our deeds. Ameen. So number one, no elements of showing off. And number two, it's coming back to the beauty of the season. Due to the love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are staying away from certain things that are generally permissible. For example, food that is halal and pure, it is permissible for you to consume outside of Ramadan. You have your breakfast, you have your lunch, you have your dinner. But during the month of Ramadan, min tulu' al-fajr, from sunrise to ghurub al-shams, to sunset, you stay away from food that was generally permissible for you. You're staying away from food and drink, the two main necessities for life to continue. You need water, you need food, but you're staying away from it because of your love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're staying away from intimacy with your spouse, with your halal spouse. You're staying away from intimacy during the morning hours of the month of Ramadan. Again, why? Because Allah has commanded as such. Again, because of the love that you have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why this month has been highlighted in this particular hadith, Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that He will reward you for the fasting that you are going to fast during the month of Ramadan. Now why is it special and powerful? It is special and powerful again because it is a season that has been given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to train our nufus, which is the plural of nafs. Now we all know that within us we have something known as the nafs. And the nafs is an Arabic term that can be translated in many ways. Scholars have translated it as the lower self, your ego, your base desires. And we all have nufus within us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the noble Quran, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. That indeed the nafs is always inclined towards evil. The nafs has been created in such a way that it is always inclined towards evil. During the month of Ramadan, you are able to tame your nafs, because in reality, you can't kill your nafs. You can't kill your nafs, but you can tame your nafs. There is this voice within you that's always perhaps inclined towards evil. You can tame it during the month of Ramadan. It is a powerful season to do that. And you have to understand, my dear brothers in Islam, that a nafs that is not tamed is actually worse than shaitan. Subhanallah. A nafs that is not tamed is worse than the devil. Why? Because like some scholars have put it in the past, you see, there's a difference between having a thief inside your house and a thief outside your house. Thieves, a burglar, a robber who comes from outside, yes, it's problematic. But just imagine you have a thief living with you inside your house, perhaps from a very close family member within. It's difficult to identify. You feel betrayal, you feel all these feelings. Why? Because the thief is inside your house. Likewise, the nafs is within you. The nafs is within you. And it whispers. It pushes you towards evil. It's very materialistic. It's craving for dunya. You can test yourselves. You want to wake up for Salatul Tahajjud. We all want to wake up for Salatul Tahajjud. But your nafs does not want to wake up for Salatul Tahajjud. Your nafs wants to curl up and go to sleep. You want to wake up for Salatul Fajr. Your nafs does not want to wake up for Salatul Fajr. You want to make it to the masjid for Salah, but your nafs does not want to make it to the masjid for Salah. You want to take the Quran and read, because you know the virtues of reading the Quran. You want to study the words of your Maker. You want to study the words of your beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But your nafs is lazy. Your nafs wants entertainment. Your nafs wants YouTube. Your nafs wants movies. Your nafs wants Netflix. Your nafs wants all of these things. So it is upon us to train and tame our nufus, where the voice of our nafs becomes weaker and weaker, and we are able to overpower our nufus. But on the other hand, if you tend to listen to your nafs constantly, what happens is you're feeding your nafs. Your nafs becomes powerful and powerful by the day, until finally you become a slave to your nafs. You become a slave, and the nafs overpowers you. The nafs drowns your voice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us all to train our nufus. Now, because of the sacrifices that you are making for Allah during this month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our beloved Allah, He makes it easier for us to tame and train our nufus during the month of Ramadan. How so? Number one, the devils are all locked up as per the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Suffidat ash-shayateen. During the month of Ramadan, the devils are all locked up. So the influence of the devil is not present during the month of Ramadan. Subhanallah. These are the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what is the principle in regards to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Allah azza wa jalla states, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى وَمَا يَنطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى. By the stars, it says, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. Your companion, i.e. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has not gone astray. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He does not speak out of his own desires. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. What he speaks in regards to the deen of Allah is divine revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says during the month of Ramadan, the devils are all locked up, they're chained up. So we have people who come up and say, Shaykh, during the month of Ramadan, you say that the devils are all locked up. But then why do I feel inclined towards evil? Why do I feel like sinning? Why do I lie? Why do I curse? Why do I swear? Why do I indulge in haram during the blessed month of Ramadan? It is because, my dear brother, my dear sister, you need to work on your nafs. Because the month of Ramadan is a good way for you to evaluate how your nafs is and how much work you need to put on purifying and taming your nafs. So Allah is helping you out by removing the influence of the devil. The devils are all locked up. So if you are having whisperings, if you are having inclinations towards evil, then you should know that it is from within you and you need to work on your nafs. So number one, Allah makes it easy for us because you need to look at it from this perspective as well. Think, if there is this big shopping center in the city, all right, there's this big shopping center, like a mall or a supermarket or whatever it is. And if they were to announce, now it's all about marketing, right? Let's just say you get an SMS in the morning or say after Salatul Jumu'ah that until the 10th of May, everything at that mall, everything, no exceptions, no little terms and conditions apply. Now, general discount, everything 75% off. Subhanallah. There's going to be such a big crowd there. Everybody, ladies, gents, everyone's going to flock and rush to the place to get and grab as much as possible. Why? 75% off. So generally what is 100 rupees will be 25 rupees. And they also tell you in that SMS that this offer is like once in a lifetime or I don't know, once in 2-3 years or something like that. Everybody is going to rush there. But subhanAllah, the month of Ramadan is the same, but not in terms of dunya, in terms of your deeds for akhirah, in terms of your investments for al-akhirah. And that is why the second thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does in terms of the month of Ramadan is that He creates an incentive. And what is the incentive? As per the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the month of Ramadan, one nafil deed, one optional deed is equivalent to a fard, to a fariḍah. You get the reward of a fard deed. If you pray one nafil raka'ah of salah, you get the reward of one fariḍah, one fard. And every fard action is equivalent to 70 fariḍah. Subhanallah. 70. One fard multiplied by 70. In terms of reading the Quran, what do we know from the fadail of reading the Quran? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said along the lines of these words, for every letter that you read from the Quran, you get how many rewards? 10 rewards. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on to say, I'm not saying that alif lam mim is one letter, but rather alif is one, lam is one, mim is one. So if you were to take the Quran and if you were to read kaf ha ya ayn sad, 50 rewards. Mind blowing. And during the month of Ramadan, it's multiplied manifold. And think about spending time with the Quran. Think about studying the Quran. Think about reflecting on the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about crying in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think about the nafil raka'at. Think about taraweeh. Is it not a beautiful love story? Taraweeh is a love story. You read in the Quran is a love story between you and your beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're reading the words of Allah, your beloved. You're standing in salah in front of Allah, your beloved. You go down. Look at salah. It starts off with us standing like this, in a dignified posture. That's how we start off our salah. And then what happens? Step by step, we go down and down and down until finally we put the highest position on the ground in front of Allah. We have humbled ourselves in front of Allah. And this is repetitive. It's programming us. It's disciplining us in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So during the month of Ramadan, subhanallah, it's a programming, it's a disciplining of our souls as well as our bodies. So that's number two. And number three, my dear brothers in Islam, The third way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us out, motivates us during the month of Ramadan, is that there is this announcement. Outside of Ramadan, that's the usual ordinary months, like let's say today, tomorrow, before Ramadan, after Ramadan, outside of Ramadan, every night, I want you all to listen to me attentively. Every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, during the last third of the night, He descends. Nuzulun kama yaliqu bi sha'nihi wa jalali. He descends in a manner that befits His majesty and His glory. He descends to the lowest heaven, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He announces, هَلْ مِن تَائِبٍ هَلْ مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ هَلْ مِن ذِي حَاجَ. Is there anyone at this time to seek forgiveness from me, Allah? Is there anyone to seek tawbah from me? Is there anyone who has needs to be taken care of so that I can take care of his needs? Every night, whilst most of mankind, including myself, we are fast asleep, we are heedless, oblivious of the calling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the calling of our beloved. But we're ready to run for materialistic discounts. We're ready to queue up, we're ready to line up to get something materialistic. But in front of Allah, subhanAllah, every night, هَلْ مِن تَائِبٍ. Is there anyone to seek repentance? هَلْ مِن مُسْتَغْفِرٍ. Is there anyone seeking forgiveness so that I can forgive him? Is there anyone who has got needs? Don't we all have needs? Don't we have problems that we are going through, that we want solutions? SubhanAllah. Then don't you think that you need to throw yourself at the door of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, crying and weeping? Now coming to the month of Ramadan, the announcement is announced earlier, Ghurub Shams. With the setting of the sun, the announcement starts. Allahu Akbar. You don't have to wait till the last third of the night. During Ramadan, with the setting of the sun, the announcement starts. And also during the month of Ramadan, every single day, my dear brothers in Islam, every single day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees so many souls from Jahannam. In the sense, you are removed, you're saved from the fire of Jahannam. Every single day, so many souls. As per the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one particular hadith states, 1,000 individuals, Allahu Akbar, may Allah make us from those lucky and fortunate individuals. 1,000 individuals, every day they're saved from the fire of Jahannam. And the last day of Ramadan, the total is multiplied across the days. So 1,000 into 30, 30,000 people on the last day are saved from the fire of Jahannam. May Allah save us all. Ameen. My dear respected elders, brothers, and youngsters in Islam, the month of Ramadan is such a beautiful opportunity to mend your ways, to turn over a new leaf, to turn to Allah, to turn to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as per the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He forgives every single person who seeks forgiveness during the month of Ramadan, except for a few individuals. And if I'm not mistaken, in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to list the individuals. Number one, a drunkard. A drunkard who is constantly drinking. He's not making tawbah. He does not want to mend his ways. Allah won't forgive him. Allah won't forgive an individual who does not have good relationship with his parents. Things have gone sour between his mother and his father, and he has not sought the forgiveness of his mother and his father, Allah will not forgive him. So if things have gone sour with you and your parents, reach out to them. Seek their forgiveness. They are two massive doorways into Jannah. Don't wait. You never know when Malakul Maut will come to you or to them. And once they're gone or once you're gone, it's too late. May Allah save us all. May Allah help us to be the best of children unto our parents. Ameen. Number three, the person who has severed family ties, he too will not be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number four, a mushahin. A mushahin will not be forgiven by Allah. Now who is a mushahin? A mushahin is a person whose heart is filled with toxicity. A person whose heart is filled with animosity. A person whose heart is filled with negativity, hatred, anger. Wherever he looks, he's judgmental. He's cruel. He is wicked. He's a tyrant. You know, people tell you the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun a number of times. I'm sure from childhood you have listened to the story of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Fir'aun. Now you need to ask yourself, within you, is it a Musa alayhi salatu wasalam or a Fir'aun living inside there? Your heart, is that like the palace of Fir'aun? Are you a dictator? When I say a dictator, you might be thinking to yourself, I'm not a ruler. But are you a dictator inside your house? Are you a dictator with your family? Are you a dictator with your employees? Are you a dictator with your students? Then you are a Fir'aun. May Allah save us all. So ask yourself, am I like Musa alayhi salatu wasalam or like Fir'aun? May Allah save me. I'm going to mention a story and then we'll wrap off. A story and a hadith. This story has been recorded in the books of history. It's from the Israeliyat. The story is of Banu Israel. Now what is the ruling in regards to Israeliyat? I may have mentioned the ruling in the past in this particular masjid for those of you who might recall. The ruling in regards to Israeliyat, Israelite traditions, is that the Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, حَدِّثُوا عَنْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَا حَرَجْ. You can narrate stories of the Banu Israel, no problem, as long as they don't contradict with what you have of the deen. If they contradict with the Quran and the Sunnah, with the principles that we have in place, then we can't accept the story. But otherwise, there's no harm in narrating the story. There used to be a pious abid, a pious and righteous man, abidun salih, a very pious and righteous man who was living on top of a mountain. He had his place of worship on top of a mountain and he was worshipping Allah day and night. A pious person, righteous person. One day he decides to come down the mountain for an errand, some purpose, some personal purpose. He decides to come down to the mountain, to perhaps the valley or the town that was located at the base of the mountain. That very same day, there was a fasiq. Now who is a fasiq? A fasiq is a sinner, an evil person, a sinner who was climbing up the mountain for a particular reason. So you have the abid, look at the story. The abid coming down, the fasiq going up. Alright? Abid is coming down, fasiq going up. Now what happens? The two of them, they meet in the middle. Somewhere in the middle of the mountain, you know, they meet. The abid, righteous man, looks at the fasiq and he looks down on him. Not because he's in a high position coming down. No, no, no. He judges him. He looks at him and he thinks to himself, what is this fasiq? What is this sinner doing with his life? He has drifted so far away from Allah. He's a sinner. What is he doing with his life? And he looks down on him. He looks at him in a condescending way. He looks at him with contempt and hate. The fasiq, the sinner, looks up at the abid and he turns away. He turns away, my dear brothers, embarrassed. He turns away guilty. He turns away trembling. He turns away ashamed. And the voice inside him tells him, he thinks to himself, what am I? I'm a sinner, but look at this man, subhanallah. Look at how righteous he is. Look at how pious he is. Look at what a good man he is. But what am I? I am nothing. My dear brothers in Islam, it was from the karamat that had been bestowed upon the righteous man, the ones who are close to Allah, Allah blesses them in ways. So this man had been blessed that there would always be a cloud following him, the righteous man. Because he was so close to Allah, always indulging in worship, there was a cloud shading him. So when he was coming down the mountain too, the cloud was shading him. But the minute this encounter took place, the encounter without words, just thoughts, the cloud immediately shifted from the righteous man to the fasiq. And then there was an announcement made to the abid, all your good deeds have been erased. And an announcement was made to the fasiq, all your sins have been erased. Now where are they? Equal. What happened to all those good deeds? What happened to all those sins? Now they're equal in the eyes of Allah. Why? Your heart. What's the point? What's the point of praying so much? Not that we are saying you don't have to pray. You have to pray. But the end result, if your heart is not pure, what's the result of you praying? What's the result of you reading the Quran? That means you need to work on the sincerity of your intentions. Subhanallah. Therefore, my dear brothers in Islam, coming back to that first hadith, a mushahin will not be forgiven. Therefore, we need to work on our hearts and we need to turn to Allah. The final hadith that I'm going to mention is that don't ever give up. We have another hadith Qudsi, and with that we are going to wrap off. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, Ya bina Adam, along the lines of these words, O son of Adam, لو بلغت ذنوبك عنان السماء, even if your sins were to reach the heavens, Allahu Akbar. Look at how forgiving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Even if your sins were to reach the heavens, and if you come to me, دعوتني ورجوتني, if you call upon me, if you have hope in me, and if you seek my forgiveness, غَفَرْتُ لَكَ وَلَا أُبَالِي, I will forgive you and I will not look at your sins. Allahu Akbar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, Ya bin Adam, O son of Adam. Allah is addressing each and every one of you. O son of Adam, even if you were to come to me with sins filling the entire planet, are we all not sinners? Don't we all sin? May Allah forgive us all. We are all sinners. Even if you were to come to me with sins filling the entire planet, as long as you come to me not associating partners unto me, as long as you don't commit shirk, and if you seek my forgiveness, I will come to you with forgiveness equal to that. I will come to you with forgiveness the size of the planet. This is how merciful Allah is, my dear brothers in Islam. But we need to take the initiative. As you can see, Allah descends every night. Allah calls out every night. Allah says, I'm ready to forgive you. But we need to turn to Allah. We need to fall at the door of Allah. We need to weep. We need to cry. Unlike other religions, you don't have to go to the church. You don't have to go sit by the father, by the priest, by the rabbi, by the monk. And you don't have to confess, Father, I have wronged myself. I have committed this sin, committed that sin. In Islam, you don't have to do that. You don't have to come to the khatib and confess your sins. Don't come to me and confess your sins. Don't go to any imam, shaykh, scholar, or whoever it is and confess your sins. No. Confess your sins by Allah. Wake up during the last third of the night and confess in front of Allah. After every salah, confess in front of Allah. Cry and weep, Ya Allah, I'm guilty. La ilaha illa ant. Subhanak. Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen. There is no deity worthy of worship other than you, Ya Allah. Subhanak. Glory be unto you. Inni kuntu mina zalimeen. Indeed, I am from the zalimun. I am from the wrongdoers. I am from the oppressors. I am from the transgressors. I have transgressed the limits, Ya Allah. Forgive me, Ya Allah. If you don't forgive me, no one can forgive me, Ya Allah. And you will come out from the darkness just as how Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam came out from the depths of the ocean. Just as Allah saved him, you will be saved. So my dear brothers in Islam, use the month of Ramadan to secure the forgiveness of Allah. Use this month of Ramadan to get closer unto Allah. Use this month of Ramadan to work on yourselves. Use this month of Ramadan to study, to learn about the deen of Allah. Use this month of Ramadan to work on your hearts, to tame your souls. And with that, most definitely you're going to be assured and guaranteed peace, success, victory, happiness in this world as well as the hereafter. With that I conclude. I pray, O Allah, forgive us of our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us of our sins and accept our good deeds. Ya Allah, help us to work on our hearts. Help us to purify our hearts, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, keep us united as the Ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Ya Allah, those of us who are struggling with sicknesses, cure them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of us who are going through financial problems, relieve their problems, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of us who are struggling in debt, relieve them of their debt, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those of us who are finding it difficult with the difficulties and challenges of life, ease our affairs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to forgive one another. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with good feelings towards one another, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, help us to rid ourselves and purge ourselves of all negative and toxic qualities, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, just as how you keep uniting us here in this masjid, keep uniting us in the future as well, Ya Allah. And finally, unite us in the beautiful and blessed gardens of Jannah, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us all to see your face, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us all to drink from the blessed hands of Muhammad salawatu rabbi wa salami alayhi at the fountain, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, accept our good deeds. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wa, yani alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.